Welcome one and all once again to Duel Votes in episode 127. We're after the honeymoon period of our Game of the Year show, which if you haven't checked out, you should. Fantastic show. Great choice for our Game of the Year pick. But we are back with news and impressions. So to kick us off, we have Martin.
Hello!
And we have Daniel.
Greets.
So, yes, it's going to be a very one company focused news segment today. But before we get there, what have you gentlemen been playing recently?
My 3DS and nothing else. Which is, I'm kind of still surprised at it actually, because I bought A Link Between Worlds and I'm still going through that. I've got 6 of the sages now, so I'm getting there. Every time I play it, I'm kind of surprised by, oh, I wonder what happens if I use this item on this enemy. Oh, it actually, for example, the ice rod, oh, it actually freezes it. I didn't expect that to happen, but I guess I'm kind of stupid for not expecting it to happen. And it always surprises me, how organic, learning to use everything is. Like, the sand rod, I just couldn't figure out what the sand rod did. And then, you know those, my things. There's one.
Yes.
There's one in a sand pit, and you just use the sand rod on it, and it comes out. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's what the sand rod's for. So I love how everything just sort of works in the game, how it should do. I also bought Fire Emblem, and the only real SRPG that I've tried. I mean, I don't know if Advance Wars is an RPG more.
It isn't.
It is. It's the same cast as that.
Nah, it's strategy games. It's just pure strategy games.
It's the same cast as Fire Emblem. It's the same company.
Well, yeah.
But it's not really an RPG because you don't develop your units.
Yeah, it's more, I guess, class-based.
I guess I think I prefer Fire Emblem, the SRPGs, to the strategy games that are like Advance Wars.
Why?
Because the character progression really makes it so you can push people in certain directions where you need them to be to sort of round out your team.
Also, let me ask you something.
Yeah.
Which difficulty do you play on?
I'm playing on normal newcomer. Because, the game
it's
is like
easier, but people still
people don't die.
Oh, they don't die.
No. And okay. The game was like, yeah, if you have it on classic mode, people would die and they'll never come about. I was like, I'm not doing that now.
That's the multiplayer then.
Maybe for my next playthrough, but I'm not doing it now. That kind of scared me. The game's not. I'm not having a tough time with it because I'm really crap at strategy games.
Somebody's dying.
Well,
they can still be out of a battle.
They can die in a battle, but they come back afterwards. I'm not having. It's not too tough, and I kind of like it that way, to be honest. I like having no consequences. That's the reason. That actually was one of the reasons why I quit XCOM, because I was. There's a scenario where there's hostage rescue or something, and there are civilians that are running around, and I hate them. And I got to one, the first one that the game introduced you to, and I lost so many people, and I was like, fuck this game. Fuck this game. I'm not enjoying this. So. Yeah,
you have to learn to live with loss.
It's not the loss; it was more the fact that the scenario combined with the loss was I just hated the entire experience of that. So, maybe for my next playthrough of Fire Emblem, but it's weird how much time I lose to Fire Emblem in one go. It's like, oh, I'm gonna play a bit of Fire Emblem. 3 hours later, shit, is that the time?
Best games.
Yeah. So. Yep. I'm really liking Fire Emblem. I'm loving. We need more games with the anime style cutscene thing that Fire Emblem has because it's so beautiful.
It is good. It's pre-rendered, but
it looks very nice.
Style of anime, and it looks really good.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question. Are you bothered by the lack of feet?
I did notice it, right? But it has a weird charm to it.
Yep.
It's kind of strange. It reminds me a lot of Final Fantasy IV on the DS because nobody had feet in that game either. Yeah, it's kind of weird. I would like to see feet, but it has a charm to it at the same time, because they kind of try to make boots, but they're kind of just on a stump. It's kind of weird. I love my 3DS even more. I was looking at getting a case, an aluminium case, or aluminum, if you're from America. But the guy who makes them, he etches, you can give him an image and he'll laser etch it into the top, and it looks really nice. But the guy only ships to inside America, so I'm going to have to, I've asked him if he could consider shipping to me. I'll pay him extra.
Ask Earl.
Yes, Harry, that's my new job for Martin.
Really? Oh, I might have to take you off on that. There's apparently a sale coming on. I actually look forward to the eShop sales, because I always pick something up that's kind of quirky and weird. Like, I bought the Christmas sale, I bought Super Little Acorns 3D Turbo, which is the worst name. And it's this cool little sort of speedrunning squirrel platformer thing. And it's kind of cool. And I bought... It seems like a My First game called Witch and Hero. And it's not great, but I'm kind of addicted to it. Along with everything else on my 3DS. And I bought Pokemon Y after caving. Like, I was going to do it when Pokemon Bank came out, so I could actually transfer Pokemon to and from.
Whenever it comes out.
Yeah, but at this rate, Nintendo's never going to release it. It's just going to suffer the same fate as Flipmote 3D. So, I just caved, and I wanted something to do that wasn't work. So I just bought Y, and I'm playing it now. So, yeah, my 3DS is taking up all of my free time, and I never expected to like it this much. And I say this all the time, but I really mean it.
Okay. Have you been playing anything else?
Not really. No.
No. Okay, Martin?
First, I want to say, Daniel, you should definitely do a second run through with the classic mode in Fire Emblem, because you just... I mean, you already tweeted about one of the character interactions, because they are so fun and you kind of grow attached to them beyond the pure gameplay. It gives the game whole different perspective during the battle. Sometimes you just don't want people to die so you can see more dialogue by them. So that's actually really cool.
Somebody folks at A4 Play, which are an amazing group.
Yeah, I actually also played it in English, so I could see their translation of it.
The thing is, I'm still learning how the game works, because only like yesterday, I had 10 hours in the game, and only then did I realize how to use things like Master Seals and secondary skills seals. So while once I figure out how the game completely works, then I'll. Oh, I would have finished it, and then I'll play it again. But
it's not a bad way to play it on this mode. It's just it feels even very different from your experience. Even I mean, it's like the game suddenly isn't fun or anything. It's still a really good strategy RPG. It's just different from other strategy RPGs because of that.
The thing that confuses me the most, actually, and this is gonna be the last thing I say, is Nintendo can do voice acting, because the voice acting in Fire Emblem is excellent. It's great. So why don't they do it? So why don't they do it in any other game?
They do it in a lot of games. They just don't do it in their main games. I mean, we've had voice act. They've done it in Wonderful 101. They did it in Kid Icarus. They did it. Usually it's just Mario and Zelda that doesn't get it. Even Metroid.
Pokemon, I guess.
Pokemon doesn't have voice acting.
But I think Zelda could. At the very least, could benefit from voice acting. And Elle's gone.
Really?
I think, yeah.
Shit. Anyway, I think we finished up, and then I'll start.
Yeah.
We should continue without him.
Oh, okay.
Do a transition to me or something.
You folks are saying. Okay, so Martin, what's voice acting?
I have played something with voice acting, although not a lot of voice acting. Actually, another Kickstarter game called The Banner Saga, which is also a strategy RPG. And it's really cool. I mean, the part in the fights is kind of interesting because they have this armor and strength system. So your strength is at the same time your health. So as soon as you get hit, you kind of do less damage. And if your damage is below someone's armor, you basically can't hit them or only very it's very difficult. So that makes the fights pretty interesting because, you know, not only have to think about how much damage can I do to the health, but also maybe I should just use my arrow man to take some of the enemy's armor off so I can then attack easier with other units. That makes it pretty interesting. And the other thing is that it kind of mixes, I mean, in for example, Fire Emblem or other games, for most part, you have like world maps on which you travel along and then you choose your mission and you go. This game mixes basically the strategy RPG gameplay with Oregon Trail. So
that's kind of interesting, actually.
After fights, you just wander along a path which is, for story reasons, given it's kind of this Viking fantasy setting, which is also kind of interesting. So you walk along, there are days, you have food which gets used up. Sometimes there will be random events. For example, I had some dude who's a total drunkard in my caravan and he was picking fights with people. At first I was like, he can never have another drink again. And then he was drunk again and almost put my caravan on fire. And then I said like, you're gone. Bye. We're not taking you with us anymore. Which is basically condemning him to death because we are fleeing from some mythical evil. And then you can, there are like story fights when you sometimes reach a village or where you can basically upgrade stuff and buy new equipment or food. And then there can also be random fights, which are also pretty cool because you don't have to fight right away. You also have some form of army. So it says like you have, I don't know, 300 clansmen or something. So you can basically first say, before you go in with your typical strategy RPG crew, I think it's like up to 9 people, you can just first fight with the whole army, which means maybe you can then get into a fight which is easier. Or you take the harder fight, which of course risks the health of your main party, but then in return you will lose less of your clansmen. So this is actually really cool. And also it looks just really nice because they rotoscoped real people. So it looks like what's his name? Don Bluth animation?
Yeah,
Don Bluth?
I did notice that.
It's really cool.
The thing is, I think that's why I think that people look kind of weird. They just don't sit right with me. The environments are very nice. They're very well drawn.
Yeah, I can tell you in motion it looks really, really nice. It's a really good game, I think. It's not that cheap. I've paid like €23 for it. But so far, I would say it's totally worth it. It's really good. And other than that, like Daniel, I played more of my 3DS, but I already talked about those games, so nothing else.
Okay, I haven't been paying much. I've been trying to find something that keeps my interest. And if you follow me on Twitter, you've probably been through these adventures with the Last of Us, Guacamelee, and Hotline Miami. All PlayStation 5 games except for The Last of Us. I enjoyed them all to a certain degree, but they don't keep my interest for long, and I just kind of stopped playing one day and no turn. I enjoy guacamole, and it's guacamole to me is very good. I don't know what it's missing. I'm not even sure if it's missing something, but it feels like it's a good idea, just not executed greatly. Then I don't really care for the game's sense of humor.
You know, I kind of thought the same thing. Because I really
I really like guacamole.
There's nothing really wrong with it. It just doesn't feel complete.
Unique.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm playing it, and I'm like, I'm enjoying this, and I'm having fun. I think I put in like 3 or 4 hours the first night I played it. And I'm like, but I don't really feel like, I feel like it's one of those things that's really good in the moment, but like once I'm done with it, it won't really stick with me.
It feels just kind of rote, and the controls are very, they're very loose.
I don't think so.
And
they're actually very precise, if you know what you're doing. I mean, you really need
really
to know what
know.
You're doing near the end of the game, because there's some tough platforming.
Well, like, I love Metroidvanias. I mean, Shadow Complex is one of my favorite games on the 360. I just...
Maybe you guys just have a problem because it's a Metroidvania, but there is no ranged combat.
I feel like that's part of it, but part of it was that I wanted to kill, because that was one of the reasons I bought it, was because it, I mean, the whole, you know, I'm a huge wrestling fan, so the whole idea of a wrestling-based Metroidvania intrigued me, and I find the combat interesting. I do agree with you that it is weird that you don't have any type of ranged attacks, but I don't mind it, because it's like Metroidvania meets a fighting game, because you have like your combos and your parries and your counters and all that other stuff, and you get to know all the different types of enemies, and then, you know, it does become a bit more complex. It makes good use of a like, dark world, which we've seen in Metroidvania games before, but not done quite like this, where you're actually fighting them both at the same time. So that was interesting. Like I said, it has a ton of great ideas. I had fun with it. I just feel like it was missing something, and I don't know what. Like, I can't say, oh, if it had this, it would have been a great game.
Yeah, it just didn't feel right to me. I don't know what.
That's fine. I like it.
Yeah. I don't think either one of us are disagreeing that it's a good game. I think both of us are just saying that it doesn't go beyond being a good game, if that makes sense. I'm not going to talk about The Last of Us, because every time I talk about The Last of Us, I have to defend why I'm not a huge fan of The Last of Us. I just find it as annoying as hell. High Miami. I find fun. I feel like that might have been a game that might have been better suited for a PC than a controller. But
the controls aren't great on PC either.
I'm enjoying it. It's a very different type of game. It's very simple. It's like a puzzle corridor. I don't even know what you'd call it. But I have fun with it. It has... Huh?
I thought I called it like a puzzle action game.
It's a very different type of game. It has great music. It's very fun. It can be
not only
really
great. The music is amazing. I still listen to it. It's really good.
Yeah. It's a very fun game. Again, it's just one of those things which I. Well, part of it is also my PlayStation Plus has expired, so I can play any of these games right now. But yeah, mm-hmm. it was fun. I'm in one of those funks. I get in with the gaming where I'm looking for the next big thing to kind of get me hooked. I go through it from time to time. I don't really know what's next on the plate for me, but it was fun trying these games out, and I still have a bunch of games in my backyard to test out as well. So yeah, that's mostly been it, except you want to hear about my mobile game adventures, which I always find intriguing, because I actually do get addicted to those pretty quickly. I've been playing a game called Compulsion. Yeah, it's basically just a matching game, which are pretty much what phones are made for, matching and gem games. It's really fun. It's a 60-second bit, which I enjoy, because it's just kind of a high-score leaderboard thing with your friends, which I don't do. But it's a fun little pick-me-up during my commute. So, yeah, I think that's that. That brings us to news. And where do you folks want to start as far as Nintendo goes?
I would say we start with everything not Nintendo.
Okay, which isn't a ton, but... I guess we'll kick that off with Evolve, and I mean, just really quickly, this was announced. Was this this wasn't the Game Informer story. This was.
It was the Game Informer.
Okay, the other one was in the Game Informer story. Gotcha.
Yep.
So yeah, this is a new shooter from Turtle Rock. It is a co-op co-op game versus, it's a co-op versus game, right?
I don't know.
I think it sounds more like it will be like Left 4 Dead in the sense that it's a co-op game first and foremost, and then in multiplayer there's a mode where you can take control of the monsters. I think that's what they're aiming for.
Well, yeah, it would make sense considering they made Left 4 Dead, so...
Yeah.
But I just... I don't know, the thing, I don't know anything about this, it's a co-op game, and like, the first thing that we knew is that there were pre-orders, and there was pre-order DLC, you know? And it's like, oh, great. Fantastic, we don't even know what this fucking game is yet, and you're trying to peddle pre-orders and DLC to pre-order, you know, already. I think it's, I mean, yeah, you could just say that it's indicative of the industry, but it really shouldn't be. Like, we should know what it is. We had the same thing with Destiny, right? Well, actually, no, we didn't, because Destiny at least had a trailer first. It was very, very vague, but this was just, yeah, we have a game. It's called Evolved. Pre-order it, please. The Steam page was up before the Game Informer article was out, and it's ridiculous. I can't believe it. The sheer audacity.
Well, I mean, to be fair, and this is kind of going back to the VGA, VGX, whatever you want to call it, it's the same thing that Joe McHale was kind of poking fun at, is that we do, as an industry, we do kind of hope that people buy our ideas more than they buy our content up front.
Because I can't even find the game on Google. I type Involved Game, right? And I get everything that's not the game. I get AMD's Gaming Evolved thing.
It's Evolve, not Evolved.
Oh, Evolve again. Okay, all right.
I was going to say, to make it easier as well, just type in Evolve Turtle Rock and that comes up.
Evolve game also works.
Yeah. But yeah, they have kind of opened up, and part of it was because it was released in Game Informer, and Game Informer is kind of a drip spill until the magazine comes out. I think the magazine details were eventually leaked, but Game Informer does the cover, and then they do like a quick article, and then like it's, oh, here's the first screenshot, and here's an interview, and then here's the full fill out and stuff like that, because as much as, you know, it's a great system and that it gets people to buy the magazine while giving them piecemeals of the information for free online. It's like,
I don't have much issue with it. It's just really ballsy to put out your pre-order bonuses.
Yeah, I don't have a problem.
Basically anyone has seen anything of your game.
I don't have a problem with how Game Informer does their business or anything, but I have a problem with, you tell us the name of the game, please buy. That's
I think that's up to the consumers, because I mean, you don't have to pre-order the game right away. It's not like the pre-order bonus.
No, it just looks shitty. That's what I'm pointing on.
It does. But
especially in a post Aliens Colonial Marines era, right?
Well, yeah. And I think that's a great segue to Aliens Isolation, because that's the other big game that was announced that week.
I have to correct you. Alien Isolation.
Alien, okay.
Single. That's very important.
Yes, it is. Even though I believe the franchise is usually referred to as Aliens now.
Yeah.
That was a very interesting transition for the franchise, but that's neither here nor there. And it looks interesting, but so did Aliens Colonial Marines until it came out.
I think that the big difference is, I mean, I even told that to Daniel on Twitter, is that even Sega knew that, man, Colonial Marines, we really fucked up there. Well, Gearbox fucked up, but we put it out. And one of the requirements for Creative Assembly was apparently to, we don't give a fuck how early the game is. You make a playable demo for the press for the first time they're seeing it. And that's what we did.
And I think Sega are actually, I think, and Sega's also made it so... there's a studio that they actually own and have full control over is developing the game. And I think it's great. I think Sega is taking all the steps they should be to preventing Aliens Colonial Marines from happening again. Though I still am not going to pay attention to anything that gets released before the game comes out, because the whole point of marketing is to make you believe that it's the hottest shit ever. And after Aliens Clone Marines, I don't think, you know, everyone should be taking an air of caution. And I'm already seeing people going, yeah, fucking pre-order as it. No, don't.
No, don't. Don't pre-order. Don't pre-order anything for that matter.
I really don't get this point of pre-ordering any time. Like, unless it's a major deal, like sometimes like around E3 they'll have like get like 20% off or something. Like usually if you wait, you can find a decent deal like a week before it comes out, because that's when people are kind of, that's when it's in the focus. I don't get the point of pre-ordering.
My stance on pre-ordering is you should only pre-order if you know what you're going to get. The last few games I pre-ordered were Saints Row 4, and I knew I was just going to get Saints Row 3 again, and I was fine with that. Shadow Warrior, and I know that Devolver Digital make fantastic games, and I know that Flying Wild Hog make fantastic games. So, you know...
My stance on pre-orders is that I do a lot of them through Amazon, and I usually, because Amazon has a really great rolling system where usually you get like 10 or 15 dollars credits with each game you buy, so it makes no sense to pre-order them in bulk because then I won't have that money to use later on.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
My system is the best because games come out like 3 or 4 days earlier in the US, so I wait for their reviews and then I order it, so I get it on release day here. So yes. Anyway, Alien Infestation. It's running on, actually developed by Creative Assembly, the guys who actually make the Total War strategy games, and it uses the CryEngine. It's coming out for current gen and last gen, and it looks really good, I have to say. And so far, what they're talking about and what they've shown also seems pretty cool. I mean, the aim that you will just have one alien that's a threat to you, that there will basically be no combat, that it kind of is more the amnesia in an alien setting in that sense.
I was gonna say it kind of sounds like Nemesis, Resident Evil 3.
Although that had combat, of course.
It did have combat, but I was just thinking, like, the one creature that's haunting you throughout and you can't really defeat it. It sounds intriguing. I have one question, and this is kind of related. Why is Sega so intent on making Aliens a thing for them? They have other franchises in-houses they could focus on.
Well, they bought the license. That's why.
So I mean, they might as well.
You don't want to leave that, like, lying around when you paid a lot of money for it. And really? Alien is still a draw, the franchise.
Oh, no, I'm not saying it isn't. I'm just really curious, because, I mean, this is their second game in less than 2 years.
They actually had another one in development that we know. Obsidian RPG one.
I think it's worth mentioning with this pre-order stuff that Creative Assembly do not have very good game launches.
Is this online? I thought this is single player only.
It doesn't matter.
No, they just their strategy games just release pretty buggy.
If you want to have if you want a good idea of how bad Creative Assembly games can get on launch, I would go on YouTube and type in Angry Joe, Rome Total War 2, because
that's true.
But from what I've seen, it looks very good. It looks like they're on the right track to make an Alien game. And not a Call of Duty game with aliens in it. And not something else, I don't know.
Exactly.
There was that thing where, like, you were supposedly shooting clones. I don't know what happened to that.
I think it was supposed to be Marines or something. But the new info is, like, that there isn't even a fire button on your controller, so I don't know if that actually will be happening.
We'll have to wait and see on how the jury is out on that one.
Or if those threats maybe will be just other threats besides the alien, and you're just not fighting them.
I mean, that wouldn't be a bad thing. I can't see. No. In fact, I think that's a good thing, because I can't see playing hide and seek with alien and an alien, because apparently there's only one of them. For 8-10 hours, even 4 to 6 hours, being particularly good. So if there are sections where you can just walk around and sort of just take in the environments, and there are sections where you're obviously avoiding people and being stealthy and using some kind of sabotage to get your way through.
Yeah,
that would be cool. Yeah. So other than that, the game looks like an alien. It looks like what an alien game should be, and what everyone has been. Not actually, I haven't heard many people sort of ask for a kind of game like this, which is kind of interesting. Because I have before, but not a whole lot of people. I mean, I've said just make a Dead Space game that's got aliens in it, and that's it. That's what you got, your perfect alien game. But you know, I think this is a pretty good route for them to go. I mean, Sega just need to keep this project on track, because that's the last thing that they need to happen is to lose it at any point.
So far
I would say lots of potential, but we will have to see how it actually turns out.
I'm just going to wait for reviews before I do anything with the game.
I would wait for reviews, and then I'd wait for actual reviews from gamers, because...
Yeah.
Scores can
yeah,
be
I mean,
inflated.
Not early reviews, maybe, like... I mean, I have some reviews that I trust very much, so...
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah, and I guess the final thing before we move on will be PlayStation Now, which I want to say Marvel Now, but I don't have what's his name? Cup of Joe. Joe Quesada's voice, whenever he says it, it's like, Marvel Now! but yes, this is a very interesting thing. A streaming service for video games that you can access on multiple different devices.
Yeah, not all new PlayStation 4.
Yeah, I believe it's on PlayStation.
Which is first was announced as, basically.
Yeah. So yeah, you can do this on certain TVs, and I don't know if I assume that tablets and smartphones.
They said they would.
Yeah, tablets and smartphones as well.
They said they would, which is kind of interesting, because how would you play The Last of Us with a tablet?
I don't know.
Maybe
it will not be every game. But...
If I can plug my Xbox controller into my Nexus 7 and play, oh my god, oh my god,
don't get too excited. You know what problems might be there.
I was gonna say, like, what situation would arise where you would need that? Because I can't imagine that being fun on like 3G or 4G. And if you're near Wi-Fi, you probably could get a Vita and do the same thing.
I don't want to buy a Vita.
Anyway, it's a streaming service from Sony, and the real issue is, I mean, first of all, we should say it's starting this year in the US. What did we say? Summer?
In the US, you get a test in summer, and it's
and next year they want to roll it out basically in other territories. So the real issue here is because it's streaming gameplay, just with like on live. No matter how good your video compression is, there's going to be latency.
Yeah, and I had a really horrible time with on live.
Yeah, no network worldwide, I think, maybe Japan. I would even doubt that their network.
It would probably be the countries that would probably get the best service in Korea, and I think it's either Sweden or Switzerland. Both of those countries have
Sweden.
Gigabit in the home, which is, imagine that. But the biggest thing is, you know, is it going to be laggy? Is there going to be artifacts on the screen all the time?
Yeah.
You know.
I think the bigger issue, especially for other countries, is also going to just be speed and data usage, because there are places that put caps on those things, and these aren't like tiny games. These aren't even like movies, which are still huge when you stream them.
Yeah,
so,
that's the real issue. You basically will be streaming one game might be streaming like 4 or 5 HD movies.
Yeah, and for some people that might be their data cap for the month, or it might be that, you know, do you have to shut off like every other device in your house when you use it, because it takes up so much.
And on top of that, the latency issue, because if there's just enough latency, it will basically hinder your experience of any game that requires quick reflexes.
Which is most games.
Which is, sadly, that is most games. I would say sadly, because if I would love a world where we have more turn-based RPGs and strategy games. Anyway.
No, I'm really skeptical about this because Sony doesn't have the best reputation when it comes to network stability in the first place. The whole concept doesn't have the best reputation when it comes to network stability. And it's like putting two... I can't think of an analogy. Putting two very bad things together and hoping it's good, you know?
Fucking to kill you.
That.
That's actually a thing now that I wanted to buy, so I just bought that up.
You know, Sony needs to seriously impress when they release the beta in America in the summer.
I don't think they necessarily have to impress at the beta, but at least on the wide release.
I think the best selling point of this is the ability to do this on a non-Sony device, because they could use it as a very good revenue stream, because if they put it on PC, I could play Last of Us on my PC. You know? That's great!
And I think the other thing that they haven't said, and it's going to be price. We don't know how much it is per month, or if it is per month.
Well, this is it. They need to have a Netflix kind of price.
See that, because that just hurts their bottom line big time.
I don't think it's supposed to have new games on there, right?
No, it's
as
just...
As far
it's
as I know, be, it's
going
to be
PS3,
be...
PS2, PS1.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking as well. And looking at that, it's basically even at a cheap price. It's just pure profit, because those games are probably not going to make you huge amounts of money by selling them piecemeal.
Actually, another thing is they need to do away with this, the library disparity between Japan, Americas, and Europe, because that will be the... I reckon that will be the biggest problem, aside from the latency network issues. Because I'll pay £10 a month if it's got a very big library, I'll pay £10 a month if it's got a decent sized PS3 library, a big PS2 library, and an even bigger PS1 library. But if I see the America gets Last of Us this week, and it gets Uncharted 3, and it gets God of War 3, and it gets Killzone 2, Europe gets, I don't know, that game with the giant enemy crab, you know.
I would also say that I would like to see us Europeans to be able to choose playing the NTSC version, because we all know that in the early days of PS1 and even PS2, there were a lot of bad PAL ports with lots of speed reduction and stuff.
Yeah, there's no reason. There's technically no reason why not, because it's not like they're going to be running this in PAL or NTSC on the TVs. Anyway.
No, they will probably just have an HD.
It would just be it would just be an MP4 stream. So there's no reason for it. They need to certainly need to have impressive libraries that aren't completely different amongst regions. They need to nail the price, and they need to work on that network, because they're the three sort of things that could go wrong and potentially fail the service.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's an interesting proposition, and I'm really curious. It's going to be a very interesting year for streaming in general, and we'll talk about this separately on Nerds on the Rocks this week. But with stuff like the WWE Network coming as well, it's going to change how we approach how we get content in a lot of different industries this year. And I'm curious to see who's going along for the ride and who isn't.
Is it actually, digressing a little bit, I think I don't care about WWE at all, but I think the WWE Network is the best decision they've ever made, because it means that it pretty much negates piracy in regions that aren't US.
Because not yet, because it's only in the US right now.
Well, when they release it outside of the US, it will pretty much wipe out piracy. Because if somebody says, I pay the price of one PPV and I get all the PPVs, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty affordable, and the library is there, and you get the pay-per-views and stuff like that. I mean, it's the easiest thing normally, you would say. Companies just need to deliver the content, make it convenient, and don't make it too expensive.
I think the WWE Network, if everybody that had a sort of business model that was like WWE's, they need to do this. They need to do their own WWE Network, because that way you get to pick and choose what it is that you want, and you get all of the content they offer for a good price. You know,
most of the content.
Well, most of the content then. You get most of the content they've ever done for a reasonable price, and it's a win-win.
Mm. Yeah, it is. And it doesn't. And the way they're projecting it is that they don't see it as a hit to their bottom line, because it's, I think they need to get like five times as many people as they get monthly to watch their shows. But at $10 a
they
month,
need,
I think it's a much
800,000 to 1 million people to subscribe.
Yeah.
To basically
So about, you know, five times more than they get on an average pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
Give or take. In the
but
States,
for the pricing, it seems reasonable.
Yeah, I mean, you basically... Yeah, I'm saying it's a great service, and it's going to be curious. And again, the price is there. I honestly was surprised when they announced 10... Like, when they announced $10, and this is going to diverge a bit. Not only did they announce $10,
well, six-month commitment, we have to say.
Which isn't a big problem, because, I mean, if you were to get... If you got WrestleMania alone, that would have been the $60 just spending on, and you get WrestleMania for free.
That's what I wanted to add. If you're the kind of guy who just gets WrestleMania a year, I mean, this thing is kind of a no-brainer.
Yeah,
I would say.
And you're able to access it almost everywhere. And they, I guess, tie this into our conversation. It is also available on the current gen and next gen systems. Though Xbox One is coming at a later date. There is some video game relationship going.
Yeah, well, I think if Sony learned from the WWE Network and they incorporate a similar kind of business model into PlayStation Now, I know it's not exactly the same, but if they incorporate the kind of unlimited, they have a decently priced, and you can access as many games as you want for as long as you want, you know, that's how they win with this.
And like I said, I really hope that other like networks or some or other forms of media just do the same.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine like HBO or something doing something like that.
It's the future of content consumption, especially for video.
Well, it's the future for some, because some of them, I don't think some people have enough content to do it. But I feel like this is just getting way off topic now.
Yeah. Of course.
But. Yeah, like I said, if you want, we'll talk about it this week again, because it's our Royal Rumble podcast on Nerds on the Rocks. Check that out this Friday. And I guess this is a perfect segue to talk about a company that does need to change in some fashion, as we've learned over the past 2 or 3 weeks. Nintendo's in a healthy position. Where do you folks want to start with that one? Do you want to go with the Eurogamer article first?
The Eurogamer article isn't indicative of the problems that Nintendo has. So I think let's outline how this all came about.
Yeah, so Nintendo had their financial statement, basically. They put it out there. And first things first, they wanted to sell 9 million Wii U's until the end of the fiscal year, which is March 31st. So they reduced that to 2.8 million?
Yeah.
That's a lot. That's a huge disparity. And 2.8 million is less than either Xbox One or PS4 sold until now. That's bad.
And that's 60 days, not a year. That's 60 days.
That's bad. That's really bad. First of all, and they also had to basically report that they had another loss of like, what was it, 25 billion yen?
Well, they expected to have another loss.
Yeah, I think it was 25 billion yen.
Yes, which is what I think like $500 million in American money.
I'm not quite sure. I would have to try it out, but see it. But yeah, that's also not great, because usually Nintendo doesn't lose money, and that's like now the third time in a row, I think?
I think, no, they made money last year, but that was through funky math. So it's yeah. their
It's $240
second...
million. Dollars.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's not a ton of money for them, but it is a lot of money.
Yeah, and but the thing is, it's not like now they are in the crisis and don't have money. They still have money, but the problem is, if this continues, they will run out of money eventually.
Well, not
in,
anytime soon.
I think 4 or 5 years.
No, they said if they continue using money at the rate they're using now, it would take them until 2050 to be empty of all
oh,
their
it was
cash.
Oh, that long? Okay.
The problem's
but
not
still.
Money. It's the fact that they have a failing product on the market, and that's the problem.
Yeah.
And
well, you see, this is what I've been curious about because I've seen a lot of it. I don't know what people perceive as their main problem. I've seen everything from money to the fact that the Wii U is a failure, because I've seen everything from them going third party to them making games on mobile, and I'm never really sure which problem people are trying to answer for.
It's both. If you have a failing product, you're losing money. If you don't have a failing product, it makes you money usually.
No, and I get that, but the solutions aren't the same thing dependent on what you perceive as their problem. Because a lot of people, I think, are confusing their symptoms with their problem.
Yes, they are. The problem that Nintendo has is that there are many of them. Nintendo's online infrastructure is still not there in an age that it really does need to be there. We're talking about a company that was supposed to release a product, a service even, on Boxing Day, and they ended up postponing it for almost a month now without any communication to their fans, to the people who want to pay for that service. We're talking about a company that has a massive, it is a gigantic back catalogue. It is a back catalogue that every single company in the industry would be jealous of and probably is jealous of, and they're not leveraging it. They could so easily have a Netflix-style subscription to all of their virtual console games. They could put more up there, you know, say, you pay us $6 a month and you can play whatever virtual console games you want, however much you want. There will be loads of people that will snap that up, you know.
Hell, I would pay $10 for it.
They have systems that have niche games on them that are region locked, which links into the cancellation of Rune Factory 4 in Europe that was announced today. If I want to, I don't care about Rune Factory 4, but I know there are people that do care about Rune Factory 4. And if it's in English and you can understand English, why can't you buy a US copy? It makes no sense. Especially considering the DS wasn't region locked, and the Wii was, wasn't it? But
yeah,
the DS
Wii
was.
Yeah.
The DS wasn't, right? And
basically, all the handhelds were not before
well,
the
N64
DSi.
N64 was very cheapy. The N64 is just cheap. I think the Super Nintendo was as well. It's just a piece of plastic. But
yeah.
I will go back to my original question. I still don't see which problem this is.
Nintendo's problems. Okay, so let me try and summarize this in a sentence. Nintendo hasn't made any major shifts in the way it conducts its business with other companies in a very long time, and it needs to do it. It needs to conduct how it does business with its customers. It needs to change how it conducts business with its customers. It needs to change how it conducts business with other businesses in order to court them to their systems. They can't just do the same thing again and expect the same results, because that's basically what they're doing is just sort of half-assing the online stuff and expecting to release their own games and have a bajillion consoles sold. Whereas it doesn't always work out that way.
It doesn't, but traditionally it has for them. And I
it
mean,
didn't
I,
work
it
for the GameCube. It didn't work for it, the. It's not working for the Wii U.
It didn't even work for the
N64.
Cube,
but they made money on both of those, so for them it wasn't a problem. At the end of the day, their bottom line was doing what it needed to be done.
Right, and now.
But now they're doing.
They're expecting the same results out of the Wii U, and it is not happening. So what, like I said, they need to. There was a Eurogamer article describing how a developer, he didn't explain what size company, but it's, you could probably safely assume that he worked at a AAA, and he was
in charge. I think people came out that was Criterion, wasn't it?
I don't know, but it was a third party.
It was either EA,
which
Square
did
Enix,
the port.
Or Activision. It doesn't matter. And he described how how Nintendo came to their studio and asked about what they wanted from a new system. And, you know, Nintendo were telling them that they wanted it to be quiet. Nintendo were telling them that in order for it to be quiet, they had to limit hardware specifications. You know, it's Nintendo telling the developers what they're going to do instead of doing what Sony did, which is, what do you want from my next console? Randy Pitchford says, oh, I want loads of RAM. So they put loads of RAM in it, you know?
Yep.
Nintendo, you know, this whoever this developer was, or whatever company he worked at, they went to implement networking code so they could get their online game working. And Nintendo didn't have it ready. Great.
On top of that, the thing with the developers then even talked to about the online stuff that because they wanted specific features and they asked them, hey, how does your friend list work? Is it like this or this on Xbox Live and PSN? And what was the answer from Nintendo?
Oh, we don't know how they work. We haven't used them.
Great. So much for keeping track of your competition.
Yes.
But of course, Nintendo doesn't consider them competition. Then what other tidbit was there? Oh, right. Third-party relations. You talked about it before. They had some issue with the dev kit and they needed to talk to someone from the Nintendo engineers. And answers took at least a week because stuff had to go through translation because they didn't have anyone who could speak English. Amazing. I mean, even Sony had at the start of PS3, they had some real trouble with their development kits, but at least they had a studio in England in place, which was just there to the infamous Sony ninjas who were just there to help out in cases like that.
Well, let's compare to how they went about, you know, courting developers for PS4. Mark Cerny, who can speak English fluently and Japanese fluently. If anything goes wrong, they just get Mark Cerny to tell them what's up, you know? And Nintendo needs to be more aware of the needs of the developers, which is they need their dev kits working.
Because of how the markets have developed, it's mostly Western developers who are now bringing the big bucks in.
They need to be able to communicate with Western developers. They need to be able to integrate features that developers want, because at the end of the day, your developers are going to be the ones that use those features. And, you know, you want developers, you know, Nintendo needs to figure out what its customer base wants and provide that to them, and they still aren't doing that, you know. I mean, I love my 3DS, but there are so many, like, there are a bunch of quirks that really piss me off. Like, I can't play, because of where I live, I can't play American games on it. Oh, thanks, Nintendo. You know, I have all my games that are digital, and I don't like the fact that if my DS was to break, there, poof, go all my games. You know?
Isn't that really half true? But, okay, I guess to kind of, I figured this is, how do I say this? I think the biggest problem, the biggest misstep with the Wii U was not knowing their audience. And I think it was this weird combination of them trying to go after the audience that Sony and Microsoft caters to, while also going after this audience that I guess they used to cater to, and mobile and smartphone and tablets go after, and they didn't really cater to either one.
Well,
the thing is, they created a very unattractive platform for developers and for consumers.
Yes, they don't know.
They don't know who the customer base is,
and they don't know who the developer base is.
I'm pretty sure before the Wii U launched, Earl, I asked, we had the discussion, and I had told you that the Xbox One and PS4 will do well, and I told you that Wii U will not do well. Why was that? I told you the system is not strong enough, and all Western developers will want to work on the hot new stuff. And apparently I'm not the only consumer who wants all the hot new stuff, because the new consoles are selling very well at this point. Then there was the whole issue with the tablet. No one was really sure how to use it. Most people are still not.
And I think that was... They haven't come out with a game or an idea that has really shown why that needs to exist. I think it's a good addition to the system, in that I enjoy using it, but yeah, it's just one of those things where usually they come out with this wacky controller that at least has some type of use to it. I do think, and you know, this can go either way for people. I do appreciate them doing things their own way, and you know, it's not for everybody, and I'm sure people are going to say they need to do stuff more like Microsoft and Sony. I just don't need three systems doing basically the same thing for me.
They should do the same thing because then they would get the same games and could actually sell consoles.
Then at what point would you need that system if you can do the same
thing? Because I want Nintendo games. Isn't that the point?
They still exist. My point is, I've always thought they should go after a different audience.
Because not everyone buys every console. That's just us weirdos.
No, that's my point though. It's like, if all three systems are the same, why do you need three of them?
Because you don't. That's the thing. That's what first party is for.
I'd rather have three systems. You want to convince
the consumer that they want your system, because you have all the stuff, but we have this stuff, which is just for our.
Here is the problem. The problem is not we want the Wii U to do everything that the PS4 does. The problem is the PS4 just does everything better than the Wii U does. Right? The PS4, if you buy certain PS Vita games, you're rewarded for being within the PlayStation ecosystem because you get a copy on your PS3 4, right?
Yep.
Why doesn't the same thing happen on the 3DS and Wii U? Right?
And I think that's a different thing, because even that's not system level. That's something that it's Sony's ecosystem. You don't even need a PS4 to do that. I'm talking about the basics of the console, what you get out of the box from all three of them.
No, I'm saying
they
Nintendo
want to make money by selling their system and then making money through licensing.
That's how this works. I get that. My point is okay, with the Xbox Live and the PlayStation stuff. I appreciate they are great systems, and they are some stuff that Nintendo needs from that. But at the same time, if they were to copy that, we wouldn't have gotten stuff like Miiverse, which I do enjoy on the system. It's different.
Why could we get Miiverse? You have to explain that part to me. Because I'm pretty sure we could still get Miiverse having an account.
Nintendo can do their own thing, but what they do, that's the problem, is now, is at the moment, they are doing their own thing, and it's to the detriment of the company. They are not communicating with developers like they should be. They are not communicating with consumers like they should be. They don't have, you know, and that's because Nintendo's still stuck in its old ways, and that's fine. We love Nintendo because of their old ways, but they can also grow up and also be the same company. They can move along with time as well as being the special company that they are, because there is nothing like Nintendo.
Okay, but I guess what I'm trying to say is, like, at some point you do have to put your resources somewhere. And part of the problem, a lot of people point to, is that during the Wii and DS boom, they really didn't do anything to expand any of their businesses. They didn't expand their development studios. They didn't open up new ones or anything like that. So they do have a finite number of resources, and
They need more.
They do need to staff up, and I think they're doing that. I mean, but it's not something that you can magically snap your fingers and get 1,000 new people. They also
should have thought about it before.
Yeah,
and that's what I was just saying.
Because they have zero foresight and apparently missed the entire HD generation. It's not a secret that you need a huge amount of people to work on these HD games.
And it's not a secret that you need a huge amount of people to work on an online infrastructure. And it's not a secret that you need to communicate with your customers when something doesn't go quite right. Whereas Nintendo has done none of those things. And they need to start now.
It's not like Nintendo didn't see the future. It's because they had the Wii. They basically could sit around with the money and watch what all the other people went through. But they did nothing.
Okay, and this is going back to the money, and this isn't the main issue we have, but I am curious about this, is who do you copy in the industry then? Who do you mimic? Because nobody makes money that way. You can't copy Microsoft and Sony because they are also cheated, and if you're talking about the fact that they're losing money, you don't
We're
follow
not
that
talking about
model.
copying, we're talking about
No,
adapting
but
based on.
but
You
I'm
learn
saying,
from the
but it's
mistakes that
not.
Microsoft and Sony made, and you make
Yes, but
sure
how
that.
do you do that? How do you do that without breaking the bank?
It doesn't matter. They have $14 billion that they're sitting on.
But if part of the problem, the part of the big discussion right now is the fact that they're losing, what is it, $235 million this fiscal year. Part of that discussion
Yes.
today is on the fact that they are losing money. Part of it is that, yes, part of it is they aren't selling hardware and they aren't selling software. But how do you, what would you have done differently to have made that money? What model do you follow? Because you, Sony and Microsoft model is to lose money up front and make it back over time. But they have the luxury of having other businesses to compensate for that. What
It
would you have
doesn't
done differently?
matter if they lose money at the beginning and make it back later. Let me finish. The thing is, if you don't adapt to these times, everything you do will just also lose your money. So what's the point?
Yes,
You have to do something, and they do
but you have
nothing.
they we'll see. I mean, they said they have. We'll see what they do on the 30th or whenever that is. But yes, they do need to do something. That much is true. What it is what nobody seems to agree upon, I think.
And this is what I was saying on Twitter with this whole like apprentice thing, where they should just pick up a few random gamers and just present to them the problem of Nintendo, and then stick them in the apprentice and get them to do Nintendo-related tasks. I mean, we can all sit here and say they need to do this, they need to do that, but at the end of the day, we don't know what Nintendo needs to do unless they try something, and they're not. They're just not doing anything.
Well, I mean, they did something. It wasn't what the market wanted. I mean, at the same time, I'm sure a lot of people kind of felt the same way with the Wii and the DS when those were announced, that they seemed really out there. And they worked. You take risks, it's called a risk for a reason. What they need to do now is up in the air. And some of the suggestions I've seen and a lot of what gamers do focus on do seem to be really short-term fixes that don't. Like, again, it's diagnosing the symptoms and not the disease. And that's why I wanted to know what we think the main problem is with them. And I do agree with you. I do think part of their main problem is that they are a very Japanese-centric company and that they have an American and European branch that really doesn't do anything. Even when you read interviews with their global development, a lot of it is still through Japan. Which does seem really tedious because there's a real big time difference. But, like having these conference calls to Japan on a weekly basis and on other stuff instead of just making your companies kind of do their things and make Western developed games because there are different cultures and we do want different things from games. That said, you do run that risk of becoming like Capcom where some of their games are too Western in favor now and it really does turn off on what made those games popular. But
The thing is, their games aren't the issue. They
no,
have games that have universal appeal. Their games are really not the issue. But the thing is, the Wii U has games that people would probably like to play. They just don't want to invest in a system which basically has no future beyond these games.
the core of all of these of the problems Nintendo has is communication. They can't communicate with it. They can't communicate with third-party developers. They can't communicate with their customers. So how do they know what either of those groups want? If
Well, I
developers
mean,
can't do what they want on their system, they just won't develop a game for it.
I will say this much. As far as consumers goes, I have a voice as a consumer. We've gone through this before. At the same time, we've all know that if you ask 50 consumers, you'll get 150 different answers as to what you need to do.
Oh, definitely. But if you also
So
look at
it's
other
hard
trends,
to
like
kind of.
people ask for a unified account system between 3DS and Wii U. Okay, all right, let's listen to that. Let's look at what other people are doing, which is something Nintendo seem to be unable to do. Sony have a unified account system where if they buy a game on their portable, they get the same game on the PS3 4 if it's available for it. We could do that as well. That would make complete sense. You know,
Well, no,
that's Nintendo looking at industry trends
it
And also,
It depends again on what you're looking at. Because again, if you're looking at this from a business standpoint, it doesn't make any sense because then you're possibly using out on one source of revenue if you're having one person buy it and then getting it.
well, how's that? Because no, how's that?
Because
Because if I have a 3DS, I bought 10 virtual consoles on my 3DS. That means that if I buy a Wii U, I have instantly got 10 games, and that makes that system more appealing to me.
No, but that means they aren't selling those 10 games to you again.
No, but then
That's
I'm buying Wii U games on top
stupid.
of that.
They wouldn't sell you those games again anyway.
No, I wouldn't buy them again
Yeah,
anyway.
they would.
It means
Yeah.
if I get them
I mean,
on the Wii U, I would be
there
then
are still
say.
buy those games again.
Yeah,
I mean,
most
that's
people
the
are
difference.
idiots.
Yeah, and that's what you want. I mean, what do you call those people in mobile gaming, elephants?
How many?
Those
Oh,
people.
and apparently those there are not enough of those people.
Oh, I am telling you, I have seen loads of people go and buy, well, not loads of people, I have seen a good amount of people buy PlayStation Vitas because they've realized, oh, wait, hang on, PlayStation Plus gives me these games that are available on my PS3, PS4 that are also available on Vita. That means if I buy one, I can play Persona 4 Golden, I can play this game that's exclusive for Vita, Killzone Mercenary maybe, and I can play these games that I've already got again. Or with the same saves. That's great. I'm going to go out and buy a Vita. They're selling
And you aren't selling
hardware.
any software there, but you aren't selling hot software. And if you make most of your money from the
I don't
software,
care.
He already made the argument. He
Cool.
said he they are going to these people
They're
then
going to
buy
buy
the
the Vita
system
because they have
and
these
then
free games.
and then they're going to buy
no,
more. Then
you
they're going
don't
to buy
get
Vita
Persona
games as
4 for
well.
free. If you've
If
bought a
they buy
Vita because you already had
these
games on
games,
it, if you bought a Vita
if you
because you've
buy
got
these
these
games,
games.
though. But I mean,
Why
we've
would
seen
you
the
buy a
agreement.
Vita and then not buy games for it? That doesn't make
Because
any
you have a bunch of,
sense.
because you have a ton of free ones.
Because
You
the,
have a ton of,
yeah, but they're not going to
you have
hold
a,
the whole system up
you
for
don't
it.
have all for free.
But you have
And
most of
there's
them for free.
never
Why?
going to be everything for free that you want, and
Oh,
then you buy a
I don't see.
game.
I don't see this line of thought at all. Well, I'm sorry.
Okay, well, okay, then look at sales numbers. How many Vita games do you see in MPD or Media Crates
Oh,
or
the Vita
in the
doesn't sell.
Oh, we're talking about an
But
industry
you're
that
getting
doesn't release sales numbers, like unless they have to.
First of all, the Vita doesn't sell. This was just a hypothetical
Oh,
argument for something
but
that
how
could work.
okay. Okay, so if that's the hypothetical argument, it goes back. It defeats the purpose of its argument if the unified system helps, if it's not selling Vita systems.
Oh, I've seen people buy Vitas for this very reason, and then I've seen them buy Vita
There
games.
are, also,
Wait.
there are more issues from a Vita than a unified account system. The problem is smartphones, that sense, that portable systems are not
Right.
selling.
Well,
And
my
this goes
point
back.
is that it could it is a plan that has at least somewhat worked to Sony's benefit, right?
Okay,
Nintendo could use the same thing quite easily because then people will go and play Wii U games.
but going back, but my argument again, and I agree with you as a consumer, as from a business standpoint, it means that you get to sell that game once to that person. I'm
Yeah, but
saying that.
oh, you realize you don't, do you realize that not like when you come up with something like this, yes, you have to make an evaluation. We're not going to sell these virtual console games that are maybe $5 a piece again, but we get people to buy a Wii U, and then we buy and we make more profit out of Wii U games than we do these virtual console games that we didn't go weren't going to sell
Yeah,
anyway.
but okay. To be fair,
It gets then
so.
if people more people buy Wii U's because they already have a few virtual console games. That means that more people are going to buy Wii U games. If more people buy Wii U games, more people are going to develop for Wii U, and then more people. It's going to be a cycle that turns.
Okay. Are you actually going to buy a Wii U for virtual console games that you can play on your 3DS that you own?
No, but. That's just
Okay.
me, right? If I was to, if I accrued a large amount of them, and then there were a couple of games on Wii U that came out that I was interested in, say Super Mario 3D World and The Wonderful 101, it would make the Wii U more appealing to me. And as the more as more as I accrue more games on my 3DS, and as more Wii U games come out, it gets more and more and more interesting and appealing for me to go out and buy a Wii U. Whereas now it's like, oh, I've got a 3DS and I've got games on it, but none of them transfer over to Wii U, so I'm not gaining anything by what, you know, I don't have any content for it already, so why would I get one?
And the thing is, Earl, what your argument is, it's not going to help now. It's too late for that to help now. It's not going to be enough. The thing is, it should have been there from the start. And it was
Which is kind
basically
of going
there
back
from
to
the
my
start for the Vita.
Which is, for example, and that didn't help the Vita at all. But going
but
back,
but there's a different problem for portable systems. You're mixing the problems up.
No. I'm not mixing the problem up. My original point here is that, again, listening to certain people, that's not a major issue for them. That's not a major issue for them right now. They have a lot of issues, and I don't think, like you said, a unified account right now would do nothing for them. Like, there are a lot of, again, I think that's a symptom that people see as a major problem. But it isn't.
No, but it's
a major
thing is, the Nintendo's problem is this massive pile of shit, right? And you can pick one out, and you can say, oh, yeah, but this is just one thing. And then you pick another one out and go, yeah, but this is one thing. And then you keep reaching in and picking one out and going, yeah, but it's just one small thing. Nintendo has created a lot of problems for themselves.
And all of these problems have amounted
to what is now the culmination of Nintendo are not selling Wii U's. And they don't know who they're selling the Wii U to, and the developer side, and the consumer side.
That was my original thesis at the start of this, is that everybody seems to be picking at different problems. I'm not saying that there isn't a lot of problems with the system, but at some point you need to pick the biggest one that they do need
there
to
There is
fix.
No biggest one. There is no biggest one.
I think the biggest one is that there are no games. There are no third-party support. That is their biggest problem.
That's not going to change.
No, that isn't.
It's not going to change.
But
they made the biggest mistake by conception of the system.
They fucked up developer relationships.
I told you that before. They made the system that's too weak, that when every third party will be so giddy for those new shiny things from Sony and Microsoft, and Nintendo thought, well, we can do well with this old shit.
And they just dawdled when it came to developer problems, and they dawdled when it came to people getting confused over whether the Wii U was a new console, whether they thought the Wii U was a peripheral for the original Wii. They didn't solve their problems at all. They just hoped they would go away. We're Nintendo. We do things our way. We don't need to help you with your problems or anything.
They hope for the second Wii, and that's just not going to happen. Not like this.
Well, I mean, it would happen like this. It's not. It didn't happen here.
Nintendo needs a drastic philosophical shift within the company so they can actually communicate properly and hear what the developers need.
That doesn't change their problems in the current situation.
The thing is, no, and this is the problem, is Nintendo cannot fix their problem in the short term. It is a long-term problem that needs a long-term solution, and Nintendo needs to start working on it yesterday, because if they don't start working on it yesterday, they are never going to get out of it. There is no short-term solution to this problem at all. None.
The Wii U is, I think, at this point, beyond saving. It is beyond saving. This thing is doing Dreamcast numbers. You know what happened with that console? I mean, Sega had lost more money than Nintendo, to be fair. But still, Dreamcast numbers.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to save it, but I don't see them. Well, they're not going to Sega it. It's really
they
dumb.
Said they weren't going to abandon it, and that's
no, they're not
admirable.
Going to abandon it.
They need to keep supporting it, but they need to start
but
work.
That's why I agree with Daniel. There is no way for a short-term solution. They basically have to sit it out.
Which is what people are offering up. Which is what I was getting at, is that everybody seems to be offering these different solutions that does seem to focus on their short-term gains. Like, Pact is what he's going third-party temporary until you come up with a new system.
I can't believe that Pact actually said that, because if Nintendo is going to go third-party, they may as well stay that way. I don't see why anybody would buy a Nintendo system after they go third-party one time, because everybody's going to go, well, hang on, I got Mario on the PS4, and now the PS5 is out, they're not doing Mario on it? Why? Why can't they just do Mario on the PS5?
You just taught your consumer that if you wait enough, and so if they do bad enough, they will release the games you want on your system.
Yeah.
That's bad. That's not the right solution, of course not. But the thing is, you either go third party, which they probably will not, but... So the other solution just is they have to sit out the Wii U, hope to God that they will sell enough to not lose more money on it, and then come out with a system
while they're sitting on the Wii U.
that tries to, I mean, while sitting out the Wii U, exactly. Well, they have to fix the problems so that the pile of shit is way smaller than the new system comes out.
They need to, while they're sitting on the Wii U, they need to ask developers what they want from a console, and they need to listen instead of telling them, instead of Nintendo telling the developers what Nintendo is going to do with the system. They need to work on the online infrastructure. They need to basically restart it, because what they have now is all right, but it needs to be unified. It needs to have incentives for sticking with a Nintendo ecosystem, not the Wii U ecosystem, not the 3DS ecosystem, the Nintendo ecosystem. They need to work on communicating with their customers when they have delays, instead of just please understand, because you can ask me that all the time and whatever, but unless you give me a reason for it, like Pokemon Bank is not here because, well, I don't know, but we're going to tell you.
How many times do people communicate delays? It's just like we had an issue that come up and stuff like that. I mean,
the thing is, Nintendo has been saying, let's take Pokemon Bank specifically because it's a great example. They said 10 days ago on the Nintendo of America Twitter account, thanks for being patient. We will communicate more with you about what's happening with Pokemon Bank in the future. In the fucking future? Are you kidding me? You said almost a year ago now that you were going to release Flipnote 3D on my 3DS, and it's still not fucking here. The future means nothing. You need to tell me they need to say we had a surge of traffic during launch, and we feel that our server infrastructure is not enough to meet demand for when we launch the service. We will communicate to you, I don't know, next week, next month, you know, when...
Would that make a difference if it was still delayed 2 months to you?
Make a difference because they're at least keeping me posted instead of going, we'll tell you in the future, we haven't forgotten about it, we'll just tell you sometime. I don't know when, we'll just tell you.
Yeah, but I think that, I mean, again, I
we'll just tell you, Will. Don't worry about it.
But just talking in broad strokes, I'd rather that close to the launch than somebody tell me that and not really, like, oh, we still don't know when this is going to be fixed, and everything. This issue came up, which is why we have to push it back a month.
You know, they've completely forgotten that Flipnote 3D exists.
If you have any sense of how your own network works, you would usually know how much time it would take to build up the infrastructure. I would assume, at least. So you could say, like, well, we expect to increase our network infrastructure within the next 3 months. Bam. That's something.
It's something. It's a window instead of in the future. Could you guess how long the future lasts, Earl? For the rest of time, believe it or not.
I get that. I just don't. I really don't see. And I'm not talking Nintendo specifically. I just don't know if that would bring me comfort if it was today, like 6 months. I still not here. I mean, it sucks that it didn't come out at the end of December, but I don't really see, telling me exactly what happened in January is going to help me if it's not out until June.
It helps because at least I know that there's still a problem instead of whatever. Which is Nintendo. Nintendo has such a laissez-faire attitude about it, you know? And it's something that I'm looking forward to. Yeah, it's just a stupid application that lets me upload my stupid Pokemon to the stupid internet. But it's something that my hands have been in my pocket to pay for this thing since they announced it, right? And it's just... we'll tell you in the future. Don't worry about it. That's all they've got.
It's communicational. People want to know the stuff. People complained a lot when the PS3 had problems and with the hacking and stuff, and Sony wasn't communicating enough. Remember what happened after that? Sony started communicating with the people a lot more.
I'm not saying that they don't need means of communication. I'm just saying in that specific case, I just don't see I don't see why it's needed now.
Why is it not needed now? I don't understand that because not just customers. We're talking about everybody that interacts with Nintendo. If you're not within Nintendo's like magical garden, that's it. You have no way of contacting them in a timely manner.
I'm saying they do need to communicate more. They do need to be more open. I'm just saying with Pokeback specifically, I don't see them telling you specifically what went wrong.
Well, but Pokemon Bank is just a small example of a massive issue.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, I get the communication. I mean, they have a one-way social network, and they throw out information. They don't respond to anybody who tries to communicate with them on anything. And that's just, you know, like, we've had stuff like Operation Rainfall and, you know, a lot of stuff, fan campaigns towards them. So, yes, they do need to work on that. I'm not disagreeing with that. I was just talking about this PokeBank specifically. I don't see how that would give you any type of reprieve if they told you, like, some very technical reason why it was delayed or why it won't be here for
as far as I'm concerned at the moment, Pokemon Bank is in the same black hole that they threw Flipnote 3D in. I've got no reason to ever assume that we're ever going to see Pokemon Bank ever again thanks to Flipnote 3D. Yeah, it's just a stupid note application, but, you know, if you delay something forever, people are just going to assume from then on that you're going to delay everything forever. And I can understand that, because Nintendo's a company that's not Western-oriented, you know? I mean, it's all right for you guys in Japan if you downloaded Pokemon Bank within that 6 hours that it was up, because they put it up in Japan before everyone else. You know, you can use Pokemon Bank even right now, even though the service isn't actually technically up. You can still use it, and it's not a problem for you. Whereas for us guys, in the future. We don't need to tell you when it's coming,
if they gave you an update and still didn't have a date, like, I don't see
that's fine, because it means that they haven't forgotten about it. Whereas, as far as I care, Flipnote 3D is not a thing anymore. It doesn't exist. It was just a figment of my dreams that I just made up the Nintendo Direct, you know, in my head.
Okay. Anything else you want to touch on?
I don't understand how Nintendo has gotten to this point. Like, people... Like, we have Jeff Keighley on a fucking award show begging Reggie for information, right? And Nintendo seems to think that they can just continue on being as non-communicative as they are.
Announcing Cranky Kong was hot shit.
I don't even care about that. Like... It's the fact that every time Jeff Keighley sees Reggie Fils-Aimé and there is a camera around, Jeff begs Reggie for information and Reggie has nothing to say. And yet they continue that again and again and again. How many more times does Reggie need to be publicly humiliated in front of a camera for this to happen?
You think Reggie's being publicly humiliated?
Well...
I mean, he's a PR rep. I mean, he knows what he's doing. He knows what
I'm concerned, every time I see Jeff Keighley asking Reggie these things, everybody is laughing because Reggie has nothing to say.
But do you think Reggie cares? Like, I mean, it's one of those things where you're trying to find emotion.
Blows my mind, right? Like, if
Why?
He doesn't care, it blows my mind, because the customers are the people that are paying you. Like, the customers are the people responsible for your profit margins, you do not care about them.
But that's not what he's saying. I mean, they have everybody has a very specific PR game plan. Most people
don't. And Nintendo just happens to be terrible. It is fucking awful.
No, their game plan works well for them. It's a
It works so much.
Does
well
it?
They're losing $240 million in their fiscal year.
Okay, just for the record, I mean, who are you comparing them to? I mean, it's not like Microsoft and Sony has the most billions. Most people in this industry use this money. It's a bigger deal because...
The difference is Sony and Microsoft have an install base for their home consoles. Guess who doesn't?
But just saying that their game plan doesn't work, but they are still the most successful company in gaming. They just have they've had a rough 3 years. I'm not denying that. And their home console, I think the big point is that it's going to become irrelevant, but... To say that, like...
Not going to become irrelevant. It already is.
It is, but yeah. what do you want Reggie to say in these interviews?
Maybe tease something?
Jeff, I know you've always got something to say. I know you've always asking me for something to announce, and I'm not going to formally announce anything here, but let me tell you, I've got something very special coming for you in the next 6 months. There we go. There's something that Reggie could have said, but he hasn't. It's a tiny little bit. We just need something to nibble on, a crumb, and Reggie doesn't even give us that. Nobody at Nintendo gives us that. Nobody at Nintendo gives anyone that.
All Reggie can always say is, we are working on stuff.
And they always, and what does that do? People are going to say, why don't they announce these stuff they're working on? They're always working on stuff. Everybody's always working on stuff.
Yes, I mean, that's why what Rashi is saying is fucking stupid and irrelevant.
He's asked a question. He gives an answer.
He doesn't asked, give an answer. He says no. He says no.
Because they have a very, everybody has a very specific PR plan. Like, I don't see why you expect them to change that because they get asked a question in public that you think embarrasses them.
Because they need to announce things because they have an irrelevant console because they're not selling them because they have no games on their console.
Yes, but I don't. But I mean, this is like even before the Wii U.
It's just
I
a massive circle. They have no games because they don't tell, you know, so they won't sell any systems. They don't sell any systems because they don't announce games because they have a terrible PR plan and they don't speak to the, don't play to what the developers want in the system, you know. And then it just goes round and round and round. There's
Yeah, but that's so many different issues again. Being like them not speaking is one thing. Them not communicating with, them not having third-party support is another thing. But again, I don't get the whole Reggie interview stuff. I guess
because people who own a Wii U need a reason to continue owning the system. And then him saying, "I have nothing to say," is then basically is Nintendo Reggie not convincing anybody to keep the system around?
But saying that they have stuff in the future, I don't see how that would change people's mind. Oh man, they have stuff. I'm excited for the system now.
Because they have franchises that they've just dropped because, I don't know, that they could
they
be leveraging.
They don't make money. I mean, at the end of the day, that's really what it is.
Well, they're not going to make money if they continue this way.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they can if they are, if they, you know, like at the end of the day, they could just keep the Wii U at $300 and make it so whatever they have. Because I mean, they, if they don't make much,
what kind of money are they going to make that way?
I'm not saying they're going to make a ton of money, but they
no, they're not going to make any money.
If they sell systems and sell hardware and games,
no, they're not going to make any money.
Why not?
They're already losing money on every system.
Yes, but
so
if they...
let's say they keep the price up until they are making money on the system. Let's say this takes a year.
Yes.
So, they are not selling systems. So how are they making this money?
What I'm saying is they won't lose money if they, because I assume they have a huge stock.
Of course they are losing money. They have operating costs.
Yeah, they have operating costs. What I mean is like they won't. Like, I assume they won't manufacture many Wii U's in the next year because they have sit on a backlog. And that is part of the cost of a system. It's making them, correct?
Of course.
So if they don't need to make many, which is a bad thing to begin with, but they sell the ones that they have, they won't be using new money because they've already taken a hit on those systems.
But that would imply that these systems have to sell, which they
yes,
don't.
Then, which I'm saying is like they could do a sale trip. I mean, I assume they're going to get little minor spikes with Mario Kart and Smash Bros. 8 Edition and stuff like that. But... yeah, I don't, you know, it's not going to be a consistent thing, and that's going to be a problem for them. But they don't need to manufacture 9 million systems if they aren't going to make it.
But if they are not going to sell that many consoles, they are still going to lose money. Because you need that many systems out there to make money on software and on licensing.
Yeah, but what I'm getting
you're
at is
not going to just make money by selling systems.
No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is sell the systems they have in storage now without making new ones, and they're going to sell games with that. Like, you aren't using more money because you've already taken a hit on those systems that they have a lot of them sitting around, apparently.
Yeah, but it's not the volume that they need.
No, it's not the volume that they need, but it isn't going to drain them because if you're making systems that you aren't selling, you're using a lot more money than selling systems that you
They already used, lost money on those systems they produced.
That's what I said, though. So you're not going to lose more money on it if you're not producing new ones.
All right.
It's simple math. But yes, I think we can all agree that they do have to make some changes, and I'm curious to see what they have coming down the pipeline. They said they,
if anything.
But they said, I mean, you know, everybody has their problems with Iwata's empty promises. They do say that they are looking at a change in how they approach stuff and that they're going to announce that during their investors meeting next week. If that's true, we'll find out.
Will that one be on telephone? Because will we be able to listen into it? Is what I'm trying to ask.
It's a Japanese company.
It's Japanese. Okay.
Well, we will definitely hear.
Cheesemeister will be tweeting it.
There's a guy on Twitter who tweets it. He's an investor who tweets it in English. But
we will hear about it afterwards.
I mean, yeah, you'll hear. I mean, you always hear about it. It comes out.
Yeah.
They put the whole presentation up online.
Yeah, they are a public company. They have to disclose the stuff.
Yeah. And I assume that they'll put up I imagine they'll probably have a Nintendo Direct sometime soon to go over games and stuff.
Maybe we'll finally find out when I'm going to get that fucking Pokemon Bank.
You and this Pokemon Bank?
Yeah, because it's an important thing. I have, like Nintendo themselves said, that people, they have intrinsic value in their Pokemon because they spend a lot of time and a lot of effort in playing those games, right? And I have spent a lot of time and a lot of money because I bought another copy of their fucking Pokemon game today. You know, and I'm invested in the series and I want to keep my Pokemon with me. And yeah, it's fucking stupid. I'll admit it's stupid. But, you know, it's a Nintendo can't tell me when the thing's coming. Fucking.
I just find it funny that's what upsets you, but.
Because it's just
you just don't announce services and then just make them disappear without any.
And Nintendo's very good at that. They are very good at that.
Well, I mean, it's not like they didn't announce that they deleted it. It's not like they didn't give an update afterwards. It's just that they haven't specifically said why.
And as I said, there's nothing stopping them from just forgetting about it and tossing it into a black hole like they did Flipnote.
Except for the fact that Pokemon X and Y have sold 8 million copies worldwide, and that's a pretty decent user base to try to sell to.
But they could, yeah, but also, Pokemon Flipnote, you could also argue, because this is a free application with paid services that link to it, it also has, in fact, no, Flipnote has a bigger customer base than Pokemon does. Because you don't need to have any games with it.
Not maybe, but that goes into.
You are potentially selling Flipnote to every single 3DS owner on the planet, and yet nah. We're bringing it in 2013. It's now fucking January 20th, 2014. And also, TV for the Wii U in Europe.
I expected to hear earlier because that one I think is okay. I just find that funny because it's been a year and a half and there's been like no update whatsoever. I think they came out this week that they're sorry it hasn't come out yet.
Because it's something that Nintendo does. They announce things, then they disappear, then they maybe show up again, or they don't.
I was about to say, I find it because it works for us. We have it. It's been updated several times and stuff.
But you don't live in Europe.
I know.
So it's fucking fine for you, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Even though I have no purpose for that.
What is the point in buying Nintendo products if you live in Europe? There isn't one at all.
I don't know. I don't. I'm not trying. I'm not the one trying to sell you their system.
I mean, Daniel, we are already showing them that apparently there's no point. We don't buy the stuff.
I love Nintendo, but I fucking hate Nintendo.
Well, I was about to say, you both own 3DS.
Something we also forgot to mention, they also even lowered the expectation for 3DS sales.
Yes.
And
I don't know what could be the cause.
By quite
of that.
A lot,
I'm not
actually.
Quite sure. I mean,
it wasn't as much. I think it was from 15 to 13.5.
It's still a big margin.
It seems to be mostly you folks. It seems that Europe just doesn't like them anymore.
It's fine.
Because, I mean, it was the best-selling system last year for us and the best-selling system in December, so...
It was also the best-selling system in the UK. It's just not selling as well as the 3DS. DS,
the
I mean.
DS, yeah, but nothing is.
And it's not the big success that it probably needs to be, because I bet those the margins they make on each system are not that big.
No, I think, and... I really don't want to start a new discussion here, but I really do think one of the things they should look into in the future is becoming a cheap alternative. Make a $200 console, make the Wii, instead of trying to compete with Microsoft.
I don't understand why the Wii U is $300.
No, I don't either. Maybe that was a bad idea then.
I still don't think the controller was a bad idea. I just think they haven't.
Because it's like, I could pay $300 for this thing that has no games, or I could buy a PS4. I mean, granted.
Or you could buy a 360.
Granted, which is wireless. Granted, the PS4 has no games also, but the PS4 has.
Everything else.
Yeah.
Well, it has games
coming out. And I can guarantee that EA will make games for PS4, and I can guarantee that Activision will make games for PS4, and I can, Nintendo, man, you need to fix your shit.
Okay, are we good here?
Yeah, should be.
Okay, sure. We'll be back next week. With who knows what. It won't be recorded on a Monday, I can tell you that much. For Martin, Daniel, and myself, this has been Duels in episode 127.
Give me Pokemon Bank!
You've got a friend in me. You've got a friend in me. When the road looks rough ahead and you're miles and miles from your nice warm bed, you just remember what your old past said. Boy, you got a friend in me. Yeah, you got a friend in me. You got a friend in me. You got a friend in me. You got trouble, and I got them too. There isn't anything I wouldn't do for you. We stick together, see it through, 'cause you've got a friend in me. You got a friend in me. Some other folks might be a little bit smarter than I am, big and stronger too, maybe, but none of them will ever love you the way I do. It's me and you, boy, and as the years go by, our friendship will never die. You're gonna see it's our destiny. You got a friend in me. You got a friend in me. You got a friend in me.